Am I the only person who puts peanut butter on toast? Now, hear me out, guys. I think there's a place for it in the world. You just have to put butter first. So, butter or margarine, and then you can put the peanut butter. But here I am exposing myself. Yes, I do put peanut butter on bread, on toast, rather. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I'm the same guy who likes pineapple and pizza, so you could argue that I've got a thing with toppings, but I really don't think there's anything wrong with peanut butter on toast, but that could just be me. Hopefully I'm not alone. But I'm sure there are people who've got like weird food preferences, like, you know, I don't know, peanut butter on banana or something like that. I know when I was younger, I'm really exposing myself today, but when I was younger, I used to take sandwiches which had polony and jam in the middle. Oh, those were some interesting times. But, you know, I'm still here. I'm still standing. It could explain a few things, you know, about, the life that I've lived, right? But, no, that was banging. Those sandwiches used to bang. Like, but here we are. Here we are. And, yeah, I just thought I would start the episode off on that note, just to show you guys that, hey, I've got weird food cravings, just like some of us, I guess. But this is the Become podcast. My name is Taku, and this is episode 2 of season 2. I didn't think we'd get to this point. To have a second season of this podcast was a pipe dream. But God is in control. God is good and God is gracious. And he has allowed me to see this day, and he's allowed me to continue with this podcast. And my hope and prayer is that you guys are being blessed by what is being shared here. What we stand for here is that who you are is more important than what you do. You could be a multimillionaire. You could be a successful author. You could be achieving so much in your career. But all that doesn't matter in the end if we're not right with God, if we're not in right standing with God. And that's the most important thing, right? Is what our position is before the creator of the heavens and the earth. Where do we stand with him? And so we believe as Christians that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can go to the Father except through him, the Bible says. So we trust in Jesus's position as a mediator between us and God. So belief in Jesus, faith in Jesus, allows us to have access to the Father. Now, in this episode, we're going to touch on an aspect of life that can be very difficult and very tricky. And if you are honest with yourself and really ponder on this, I'm sure you would have, or you'd agree that this element of life can be very tricky to navigate. And it's all about waiting. Right, playing the waiting game. Now, a lot of us may have had a word of encouragement or something that was given to us in terms of a promise, or we may be walking in faith, trusting that something is going to happen in our lives. And when it comes to waiting, especially on God's promises, that can be very counterintuitive to our human nature, because our human nature is not geared for waiting. In the generation we live in now, instant gratification is the name of the game. You step into an entry-level job today, you want to be the CEO of the company tomorrow. You invest some money on the stock market and you expect to get returns in the next week. We live in an age where now is better. What we can get now is better than what we could get later. So when we live in a generation that focuses on getting things now, how can we as Christians separate ourselves from that environment? Because remember, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. So how do we shift our mindset from instant gratification to allowing God's promises to mature and come in their own time? Because remember, God is never late. God is always on time. His idea of time and our idea of time may be vastly different. But the truth of the matter is that God is always on time. When he sent Jesus into the world, it says that in the fullness of time, Jesus came. So when it was the time for him to come, he came. God is always on time. You may be thinking, no, he's not. There have been times where I've needed his help there and then, but it didn't come. There have been times where I thought he was going to step in, but he only then revealed himself later. So I just want to ask you this question. Do you trust that God is always on time? Are you able to separate yourself from the situation you're in and realize who God is, that God is sovereign over all things? He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He knows the inner workings of you and I, and he knows how things run around here because he created everything. So can you trust that God will always be on time? Because we have a tendency to be impatient. We want to see the results of what he has promised us now. We want to see it happen now. But even Jesus had to grow up and mature, right? Jesus had to go through the experiences we went through. He went from being a newborn baby to being a toddler to being an adolescent, teen, through that whole process. Even Jesus had to wait until he could be revealed to the world. So we're going to look at a small passage of scripture in Luke chapter 2. And it's the story of Simeon. So it's Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 32. Now, the context is that Jesus is being presented as a baby in the temple. So Mary and Joseph have come to present Jesus in the temple, and they've come with their offerings. In verse 24, it says that they offered a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, because they were modest people. They weren't affluent. They couldn't afford the offering of a lamb. So they brought a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So that's the context. Now, we don't know much about Simeon, but in the scripture it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just," or righteous in other translations, "and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Now, the consolation of Israel was the hope of the Messiah, the hope of the coming of the Messiah. People had different interpretations of what that would look like. Would the Messiah come and bring political advancement and, you know, freedom, or would he come to restore Israel? There were different schools of thought, but Simeon was waiting for that hope, that revelation of the Messiah. Verse 26 says, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." He would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, this is Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Now, like I mentioned before, we don't know much about Simeon, but it says that he was just and devout. He was a righteous man. And more important than waiting on God's promises is our position before him. Are we in right standing with God? Because it's one thing to have knowledge of God and, you know, I guess, believe in quotation marks in his promises, but it's another thing to actually have faith, right? To have faith, to trust in God, to have him as our Father, and to believe in his promises. So it's important. Your position before God is important. It's important to have that settled before we can even speak about God's promises. You have to have resolved that I am going to believe and I am going to be in right standing with God. And it says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting. He had an expectation that the consolation of Israel would happen, that the messianic hope he had would be fulfilled. He was waiting. So waiting is not just for you and me. People are waiting. People have been waiting. And you can imagine that Simeon would have, I guess, had days where he may have doubted, you know, he may have doubted, he may have been wondering, like, what is happening? And I think it's okay for us to have those thoughts, but we must also be careful not to undermine what God can do, not to make it seem like we don't trust in him. We are allowed to ask questions. We are allowed to come to God in prayer and be like, what's happening? you know, what's going on. But to always, as we'll see further down in this passage, to always remember who God is and to remember that he is a God who fulfills his promises. And it had been revealed to him in verse 26 by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So Simeon had assurance that he would not die before his waiting game was up. It had been revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This is the interesting thing about God's promises. God will promise us something, and then we have the tendency to think that he will not fulfill that promise before, you know, in this case, before Simeon would die. We then tend to think that, okay, I may never see this promise happen. I may move to another country and never see what the promise was. Have I missed out on the promise? You know, did I not see it? Did I not perceive it? Yet, Simeon had been given assurances that you're not going to die before you see the Lord's Christ. You're not going to die before you see this messianic hope. So it does beg the question, are we able to trust in God's assurances for what he is making us wait for or wait on? Are we able to wait on the Lord with patience? Or do we find ourselves getting really impatient and almost giving up on what he has promised us? So it's important that when the Holy Spirit has revealed something to us, that we do not become impatient, that we trust in what God has revealed to us, because that's a privilege in itself, that God would actually reveal to us that this is what I want to show you, or this is what I have for you. It's such a privilege. So we need to get into the habit of not becoming impatient and trusting that God will reveal in his own time the promises that he has for us. Then verse 27 says, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. So the Spirit led him. He was now in the right place at the right time. A lot of us think that we are in the wrong place. We think that it's not the correct time. Yet here, Simeon was led by the Spirit. Are you being led by the Spirit? If you're being led by the Spirit, then you can trust that the promises that God has for you in his word or what he may have revealed to you will come to pass, because the Spirit will make sure that you are in the right place at the right time. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. I love that. I love that Simeon was able to hold what had been promised to him in his hands. He was able to see it, was able to perceive it. And he went on to bless God, to thank him, to recognize that indeed, God, this is the consolation of Israel that I have been waiting for. And in verse 29, Simeon says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, according to what you promised, according to what you had set and revealed to me. Lord, now I can depart in peace, because the waiting game was over for Simeon. God promised and God delivered. God revealed and Simeon saw it. Simeon perceived it. being led by the Spirit, he was at the right place, in the right place at the right time. And he didn't forget to bless his God. When you receive what has been promised to you, when you perceive it, when you are able to hold it, and it's so close, don't forget to thank God. Don't forget to let him know how grateful you are. You may have to wait for 5 years, you may have to wait for 10 years. Just don't forget to thank God for his promises and for delivering on his promises. Verse 30 says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon saw what had been promised. It's interesting because it's important to perceive, and it's important, what you see is important. What are you seeing around you? Are you able to still perceive God's promises even when it seems as if he may be taking his time, his sweet, sweet time? Are you still able to see what God has promised and still be patient and wait on him and trust that indeed he'll deliver on what he has promised? Are you still able to do that even when the environment may be saying otherwise? We have lived in a time where things have just been so upside down. Our lives have been changed drastically. It's so easy to look at what's happening around us and to completely forget that the promises God has made to us, the promises that you may have written down, and you may be asking yourself, when, God, when? When is this going to happen? But it's important. What you see is important. What you perceive is important, so that you don't miss out on what God has promised, even when the environment is saying otherwise. So, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring a revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." I can just sense a heart of gratitude and reverence for God and his promises and what he has planned to do through this promise. And that's the attitude we should have when it comes to waiting on God and waiting for him to do what he has said he'll do. We must be able to still see God for who he is, to trust in him, and to wait on him. Because God has revealed in Scripture that he is not one to go against what he has promised. In Genesis, he promised that the seed of Eve and the seed of the serpent would do battle. There would be enmity between them. And throughout Scripture, we get predictions, we get prophecies about this said seed. And only in Matthew do we then see that promise fulfilled. After all that time in the Old Testament, we then see God's promise fulfilled in Matthew. Jesus coming as the promised Messiah, who would trample on the head of the serpent, the devil, and would bring in a new order, a new way of doing things. He would die, he would be resurrected, and he would ascend into heaven. But you have to wait until we get to Matthew for the promise that was made in Genesis to be fulfilled. So, in conclusion, don't be afraid to wait. yes, human tendencies will come into the picture. We get frustrated, we get impatient. These things happen. We have emotions for a reason. But don't allow yourself to spiral and to forget that God is a God who keeps his promises. And that in the fullness of time, when the time is right, that promise will be fulfilled. Thank you for tuning in. I hope this blesses you. And if it does, please do share. It helps to get the word out, and there may be someone who may need to hear this, who may need to know that the waiting game can be frustrating, but in the end, it can also be fulfilling. Don't lose hope in God, because God is a God who keeps his promises. God bless you all, and have a fantastic day.